That we've heard a lot about already, and we don't have anything new to share. Thinking about the service that we had over there. Really, there's nothing more to say. So we will repeat a lot of what was shared. And Gary, if you think that this is not home to my wife, you are mistaken. Because she loves to come back home, but then she is also willing to live with me in Ohio, which is a blessing. You know, it is different coming back with grandpa's no longer here and so on. Things change. And I know in the past couple of years, that has been very real to many of you. But he is risen. And for that, we are thankful this morning. It's a special day. We call it Easter. Ever wonder what kind of a day it was when Jesus stepped out of that tomb? You know, we get the idea that Easter, at least I do, that Easter should be a nice sunny morning, clear skies and all of that. And I don't know, I'm kind of guessing that's the kind of day it was. Do you ever wonder what those women were talking about when they were heading down the path to that tomb? Did they know about all the soldiers that were guarding that tomb? I doubt it. You know, there's so many details that are left out in Scripture when we think of the resurrection of Christ. There's so much that God leaves to our imaginations. What about the earthquake? Did that happen when these women were walking up close to the tomb? They saw the soldiers there. The soldiers couldn't move except for their shaking. What about the angel speaking to them? What about meeting the gardener? The Bible says it's the first day of the week. And it's the day that hell and all its demons awoke to the shock of their life. Satan himself had won the battle, but he lost the victory. To put that in perspective this morning, Satan's powers succeeded to put Christ on the cross. They succeeded to snuff out his life, and then they shoved him in a tomb. A massive stone was rolled in front of the opening and sealed. But where the devil and his cohorts messed up in their scheme was in calculating the almighty power of God. They didn't figure in the fact that death is only in Satan's domain, and that God has life in himself. He is life, and he's the giver of life. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." All Jesus had to do was step out of that body, that earthly body, for 3 days, and then step back into it again. And it was gloriously changed into a celestial body. And so this morning he is risen and we praise him for it. His work was done on earth. As the women came that morning, they wondered, they talked about it. Who's going to roll away that stone? That big stone from the mouth of the tomb. You know, there's lots of ideas as to what that stone weighed. And I didn't see any estimations under a ton. That's a lot of weight for somebody to move. But as they came near, they saw that the stone was rolled away, and it says an angel sat on it. And I had to chuckle when I thought of that. You know, the power of God, the angels coming, I think it says there was two angels maybe, but they came and they rolled that stone away and sat on it. Easter Sunday. You know, there's more churchgoers, they say, on Easter Sunday than there are on any other Sunday of the year. And I know some people recoil at the idea of calling it Easter because of the supposedly origin of its name. Some kind of goddess. A pagan god. And along with that, as we heard this morning, it's the Easter bunny and the Easter eggs and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that takes me back to my childhood. Getting up on Easter morning, going to the door, and there was this little basket on the outside with this faint green grass in it and some colored eggs. And, you know, we'd have colored hard-boiled eggs for lunch and that kind of stuff. Maybe a more preferable name this morning would be Resurrection Day. I like that. I've entitled the message, Resurrection Day, with kind of a subtitle, That I May Know Him. You know, if somebody resurrects from the dead, that's some news that would spread quite fast. And rightly so. It's so uncommon that what we would say is it's unbelievable. What do you think Google would have on the headlines if somebody would rise from the dead? It takes a supernatural power to bring somebody back to life, somebody that was physically dead and buried. With the scarcity of such happenings in our day, when we use the term Resurrection Day, there's one of two days that we think of. The first one, of course, the Resurrection Day of Jesus Christ, the one that we're celebrating. The second would be the end of time, when the graves will open and the dead shall rise again. But you know what? The same thing happened back when Jesus, when Lazarus died. Martha was there, and she told Jesus what happened, and if he had been there, it wouldn't have happened. Jesus said, your brother is going to rise again. Martha said, I know that. She said, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And she was referring to the end time. when we're told that everyone's going to rise from the dead. And we're going to stand before an almighty God on Judgment Day. Jesus explained himself. And he said, Martha, I have power to raise Lazarus from the dead now, today. Moments later, that miraculous story of raising Lazarus took place. Jesus has life in himself. He is the author of life. It says that many of the Jews that came to Mary and Martha, when they had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Today, we have the Bible, and there's many, many stories in there of God working in and through his people. And we actually believe that these things happened. But we also have the idea that those were special times, and that maybe God doesn't move in those miraculous ways today as he did back then. And I understand there were special times when Christ was here. But it's the same God today that is doing greater things than giving physical life to dead people. He's giving spiritual life to spiritually dead people. And to me, that is it takes a greater miracle for that than what it does to raise somebody from the physical dead. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He wants us to know him and to believe in him. Why do we have Easter or the Resurrection Day? I know, it's a silly question. Mom and Dad know. But do the children know? It was interesting over there this morning. You know, it's a celebration of when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So, to me, that begs a question. Who was Jesus, and why did he die? Well, we all know who he is. He's the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God. Slain from the foundation of the world, it says. He's the Redeemer. He's the Savior. He died because man had disobeyed God, which severed our relationship with him. And the only way for this relationship to be restored is through Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood on the cross of Calvary as payment for sin. So we know. Well, we've got the head knowledge of that, of who he is. But the real question this morning is, do I know him as my Savior, as my Redeemer? Have I allowed the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain on Calvary, to cleanse my heart and to restore my relationship with my Heavenly Father? Let's own it this morning. He suffered and died for your sins and mine. In whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And how thankful we are this morning for what Christ has done for us, that work of redemption. Today we don't question the resurrection of Jesus. We celebrate it every year Today, April 9th, 2023, Easter is still a national holiday here in America. I'm afraid there's too many people that are gathering this morning in churches across America that don't know the Jesus whose life, whose suffering and death, whose resurrection that they are celebrating. The Apostle Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. This kind of knowing is more than just head knowledge. It's experiencing his joy in our hearts today, the new life that we heard about this morning in Christ Jesus because of the resurrection power. It's experiencing the forgiveness of sins in our lives, his grace that's extended to us. It's allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to have full control of our hearts, of our minds, of our lives. And that gives us courage, and it gives us strength to live a victorious Christian life. It's utilizing the power of the resurrection in our lives today. And it's here that I stumble because of the ease of sin in our lives today. How easy is it for me to say that I know I'm just human and I've messed up again? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him, which is God, the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, give life to you and to me, to your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. This new life in Christ that he's talking about here is our believing by faith in Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that was made on Calvary 3 days before his resurrection. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit ye do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know, I think it's amazing to think about the power that it took to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, for God, it was just a very simple thing to do. He's all powerful. So it's basically a snap of the finger to bring somebody back to life again. But I want you to listen to this morning. Listen to the amazing power that God is willing to invest in your life this morning, in my life. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. How much can we think? How much can we ask for this morning? He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all of that. Is there any excuse for us this morning? It's in reference to the power that's talked about there in Ephesians 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding, there it is again, exceeding greatness of his power to usward. That's to us. According to the working of his mighty power, which God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. There it is. It's that same power that raised Christ from the dead can be within us to live, help us live the Christian life. We don't have to live the defeated life this morning. He gives us the power to overcome. This power is beyond the human mind. I know we still face our trials. We still face struggles in life, temptations. It seems sometimes that God's power is limited. But as we yield ourselves to him, you know, what we can experience God's grace, his blessings in our lives, his strength to overcome, if we continue to live a defeated Christian life, it's not a lack of power on God's part. But it's because we don't avail ourselves to his divine strength. There's no need to or excuse to not be an overcomer spiritually. And I believe that if we continue experiencing defeat in our walk with God, it's because we love sin more than we love righteousness. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be and the likeness of his resurrection. This morning, being planted together with him gives us the assurance, the hope of eternal life. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's an inheritance that will never be taken away. And it's reserved, it says, for you, if you want it. At the last resurrection of the dead, when our faith becomes sight. We know him through the Spirit that dwells within us. Paul says, giving up everything for the sake of Christ and even being willing to suffer for him helps him to know Christ Jesus. And Paul even says that he has not attained to the Christian life the way he wants it. But he's willing to do whatever it takes to attain unto the resurrection of the dead in the next life. None of us have reached perfection in our Christian life. But may we forget those things of the past, those failures of the past, and reach to greater heights of fellowship with Jesus, even if it means suffering for his name's sake. Why is it important to really know him? It's because eternity depends on it. Whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He that believeth on the Son hath life everlasting. Let me ask you a question, and I know it's probably a silly question. How would you like to move in and live with someone that you don't know, that you have no idea who they are, but you just want to go live with them? Well, probably very few of us would want to do that. Too many of us go through life and we don't take the time to acquaint ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we die, we want to go live with him throughout eternity, don't we? Awkward. That's kind of the thing that comes to mind. And it probably won't happen. So why not get to know him today? By faith, believe in Jesus Christ. Take the time to read the love letter that God has sent us. Talk with him. Not just on our knees when we pray, but during the day we can talk to him as a friend. I don't think there's anyone here that doesn't want to know him. There's no one here that doesn't want to spend eternity with him. Maybe the reason that so many so-called believers don't really get to know him or don't experience victory in their walk with Christ is because of hindrances, obstacles, temptations, those things that seem so overwhelming to us. You know, I'm guessing both Marys, as they were walking along the path that morning, they were fretting about that huge stone that separated them from their Savior, from their Jesus. That stone in front of the tomb was an overwhelming obstacle to them. Today, there is no stone. There's no obstacle that is big enough to separate us from our Lord Jesus. Maybe it's that we need to come early in the morning with spices, wanting to anoint his body. Come with a faith that someone rolled that stone away. and like Mary, experience the joy of the new life. Experience the joy of that stone being rolled back. And pour out your heart to the gardener, who turns out to be your risen Lord. What will happen if you do this is that you will be anointed with his presence and his love, just like Mary Magdalene was. You may not recognize him till he says your name. Mary didn't. But when you do, you will fall at his feet and worship him. So come as Mary Magdalene did. See for yourself that the tomb is empty. Death could not keep him. The grave could not hold him. The stone was rolled away this morning. He is risen, just like he said. Get to know him deeply. I want us to rise, and I want to share one more, a few more verses here, and I'll paraphrase it. It's there in Colossians 3. As a Christian, seek those things which are above. Set your goals, your affection on heavenly things. The big you is dead when you are in Christ. That his power, that way his power, his resurrection power, can be manifested through your life. You are hid, he is seen. That way, in the last resurrection, when Christ appears, you, the real you, can appear with him in glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the privilege that we have this morning of being your children. Such a gift. Thank you, Father, for the new life that we have in Christ Jesus. Thank you that Jesus was willing to come down to sin-cursed earth, to give his life, to shed his blood. And thank you, Father, that Jesus rose again, and the same power that it took to raise Christ from the dead is within us to help us live a victorious Christian life. Give us that strength. Give us that grace, Lord, and we want to be faithful servants of yours. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.